This is the Friday, May 19th, 2017 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
We did not get a chance. We completely jumped over cotton on the program, and it was a bit of a bear week, and cotton lost about 275 in the nearby. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you in livestock. Is the top in?
Well, you know, the cotton market is very much like a lot of these markets. They're, you know, it's not that there's anything that greatly bullish about them. It's just that you can these funds can move around pretty fast, get some short covering rallies. We had some export demand news that pushed the market up on cotton. You know, it pushed up here, over 87 on the nearby cotton. And I think what we're really looking for is those are opportunities. So I think that we probably have put a spike top in the cotton market. And probably more realistically, we're back into this trading range of this 70 to 80, 81. That's what I would expect as we move forward.
All right. So it gives you some opportunities to market when you get close to the top of that range. Take advantage of it.
I think that's what you do. Of course, you know, we'll have to watch and see how the production season goes. It's early yet. A lot of things can happen with weather, but that's the way it looks right now.
All right. Now, I want to bring us over to something we talked about on the program, but I was going to ask you to go into a little bit more detail. We talked a lot about the Brazilian real, and we talk a lot about the strength of the American dollar on this program. And we've got a question from Ellen in Central Illinois. She's on Twitter at Ellen Dearden. And Ellen wants to know, why do currencies matter? Can you give us the primer on, well, what's it mean? Why do we care?
Well, I think the big reason we look at the currencies is because it tells us who's competitive around the world. And that's one of the real issues that we have. If the world players move the currency around, we can have a lot of trade deals. But if they lower their currency, it makes it cheaper in the world to sell. And so they can sell stuff cheaper than we can. And we just saw that in the market here this last week when soybeans dropped in the U.S. 30 cents. Brazil farmers were able to sell aggressively because the price was more competitive in the world market, and their prices actually went up on inflationary fears. So the currencies are a huge issue. The dollar right now has been hovering around 100. It's down about 2.5% off of that, but it's a big issue.
What happened early this week to make the dollar break so hard?
Well, I think it's just some of the issues that we were talking about here in the U.S. were some of the things that were supposed to happen from a budget standpoint, from a trade standpoint, haven't really been occurring as fast as the trade would think. Okay. So I think it comes back to that type of thing. Maybe the confidence in the way the government's running. Are we going to move as quick as some of the things we talked about? Maybe, maybe not.
Okay, gotcha. So it was just kind of everybody got tired of waiting and we had some selling.
I think a risk-off type of situation.
Gotcha. All right. Now I want to turn us over back into the world. Actually, no, I don't. I want to take us back to old crop corn. We talked about it on the program a little bit. We talked about the threat that that is out there for beans with this cheaper Brazilian real. And we've talked a lot about how farmers are still sitting on a lot of old crop corn. Don, give us some insight on how to manage through these bushels that we have sitting on farm storage and in elevators across rural America.
Well, and I think that's right, Mike. I think that's one of the big issues that we have out in the country right now is, you know, there's a lot of on-farm corn being held. And, you know, what do we do about it? A lot of people waiting to see if we can get a rally up like 440, like 450, like we did last 2 years. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't, but the clock is ticking, the noose is getting tighter. If you need to move stuff sooner rather than later for all different kinds of reasons, and you're afraid that to let loose ownership, you can buy a call at the money, like a 370 or 380, so you re-own it at that price level. Then what we like to do is also say, listen, we also have to sell new crop corn. So we like to sell some 450, 460 calls in December and collect like a premium contract. So we have two things going, a premium contract for new crop on options, plus we re-own it with September, so we're not spending a lot of money, and it still gives us a chance because the fundamentals aren't bullish. The seasonals are positive. The technicals are a little positive. The funds are massively short. So there are some things that could happen to push us to the upside.
Because as you look out into the future, there's some real basis risk on the table today as all these farmers move to clean out bins to make way for this crop that's getting put in the field today.
And that's a good point, Mike. I think it's the basis risk also at the same time. And, you know, because as the cash moves, somebody's going to widen the basis in order to pay for the carry out here. And I think producers really, as we move forward, we're going to have to think more like merchandising our way out of a lot of these situations. Make sure you know the basis, like you're alluding to, the carries in the market, some of the price opportunities technically at some key levels, overbought, oversold levels. So I think we're just going to have to be really astute. And, you know, we're talking about making dimes now rather than dollars. So it's a different deal.
Now, as we look out a little farther into the future, what are your thoughts on marketing future year's crops? Whether you look at 2018, would you be selling any further out than that?
Well, I think when you're looking at that, that is a good point because you have Dece 18 corn. Just because of uncertainty, what could happen? A lot of things can. If nothing changes, we're going to be the same mess for the next 2-3 years. But you can sell 406 corn in December 18 right now. You put a 30-cent carry on that, which is possible. That's 436 for July of 19. So I think this is the way you have to think. Does that work for you? And you can do some of these window contracts where you buy protection for the downside at 410 and sell a premium contract at $5. So you have that window between 410 and $5, and that still works, $5 corn. So some of these type of things I think we just have to really concentrate on.
All right. Now I want to take us over to the world of livestock. We've got a question here from our Twitter follower, Tanner in Postville, Iowa, on Twitter at Deering Tanner. He wants to know whether or not we're at the bottom of the cow-calf cycle, looking at a 10-year picture. And then his second question is now a good time to get in? Because 2014 was not a great time to get into the cattle industry. Some folks got burned. What do you feel about diving in now?
Well, like anything, I mean, timing is everything. And I think he's smart to look at the cattle cycle. And the way we look at the cattle cycle, we think the bottom is really closer to 19. If you look at the cycle, I know he is talking in terms of 10 years. You know, a lot of times it's 3.5 up, 3.5 down, a 7-year run.
Okay.
Go back and look at it. It falls not too far off place. But I think when you're talking 17 now, moving into 18, 19, if we get setbacks, you know, in the price of cows and calves and stuff, yeah, I think it's you're close enough to the bottom that if the price dips, take advantage of it.
Okay.
If you want in.
At least you're not buying at the high right in here.
Exactly. There's nothing worse than catching the top and then your cow's worth a third of what you thought it was, you know, just 6 months ago.
Makes for awkward conversations with the banker. That's for sure. Our next question, I want to take us back to South America. This is a question from Vance in Nebraska City, Nebraska. He's on Twitter at Proverbs2_6Dad. He's making a comparison here. He notes that China is modernizing hog production. They've been doing that for several years now. And in the process, they're using more soy. He wants to know, is Brazil or Australia moving to American-style feedlots to increase corn demand in the future, given this huge South American corn crop we're talking about? Are they going to move towards an American-style feeding system for beef?
Well, the American style is always the standard, and not only just in agriculture, but in a lot of things. So I think it's going to boil down to what the consumer desires, and I think that's number one. And we know that, you know, it's not as efficient, but if you feed corn versus grass-fed, they're going to move through the system faster. The meat's going to be probably tender, just the way it is from an use standpoint. So I think, yeah, I think over time they'll move that way, first in poultry, then in pork, and then in beef.
All right. So it'll be a longer process than just next year they're going to build a whole bunch of feed yards.
Right. And I don't think you have to just, you know, you can consume your corn in a lot of different ways. And remember, they also have ethanol down there, sugar ethanol. So that's another thing to look at.
That's true. All right. Now, we have been taking questions for our analysts from college students across the country. And so far, we've mainly featured questions from Iowa State University. So I want to encourage all of you, if you are a student, be it at a land-grant school, at a high school, if you're in an ag program and you've got something you want to know about ag or the markets, get out that phone, send us a quick video, and we'll ask our analysts. Today, it's from Iowa State, and all of you can learn more about this project by tuning in to M2M Podcast number 143. So, Don, here is the latest installment of our college-level ag student questions.
So as a college student, what's one of the best ways that we can get involved in the agricultural industry and jumpstart our career?
Well, I think it depends on which direction you're going. But if you're going into production agriculture, it's very capital intensive. And under that system, the ag community is getting older all the time. And I think there are, I encourage people to try and partner up with somebody that is looking to phase out or slowly transition. So that would be my advice.
All right. Yeah, find a partner or look to buy on contract. You know, find a relationship.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do. And also at the same time, it's both financially, but also kind of a mentor and a tutor at the same time. So it can work in a number of different ways because agriculture is getting more complex all the time.
That's the truth. Well, Don Rose, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this week on Market to Market.
Thank you, Mike.
Next week, Angie Setzer will sit across from me here at the Market to Market table, and we will explore a taste of Cuba in the Midwest. Until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.